this morning. Carmel had asked me a while back to say a few words before this event, and amongst everything else I had going on, I failed to remember that until this morning when he reminded me. So just a second to let you know that this is Ladster Leaders Kickoff Weekend. We appreciate you being here. This program may not affect you personally, but it affects this church. We call this succession planning, because there's people out here that we're looking at to be future leaders, future teachers, starting all the way from our cradle role all the way up through our education program, our youth program, our college. Lads to Leaders are all part of it, because eventually somebody's got to fill those shoes. This congregation is dying. We have folks that are getting older. We have folks that need to step up and participate. And we are proud that we have all of the ministries and programs that we have in place to look forward to taking those positions. And with that being said, we appreciate Mike Horn and his family worshiping with us. We even had Jack Zorn and his family used to worship with us years ago when he started Lads to Leaders. We were proud to have them here. And the program continues. And with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Mike and let him have the words this morning. Thank you all.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
you being with you today. You normally have a good speaker, and today you got me. But that's all right. 50 years. In 1968, there was a young man by the name of Randy Rowan who won the speech competition for the FFA in the state of Georgia. Pretty big ordeal for them. The elders didn't know the young man had the ability and said, "Would you come speak to one of our Bible classes?" He said, "I'd love to. Let me take my Bible to my ag teacher so he can teach me how to present a lesson from God's Word." "Randy, why are you wanting to go to your ag teacher? He's not a Christian." "Brethren, listen to what he had to say. He's the only one that's ever taken an interest in me." Wow. The elders then went to their minister, Brother Jack Zorn, and said, "It's time we started teaching our kids how to study, present, and prepare a Bible lesson from God's Word. We've asked a young man to speak, and he says we don't care." And he's right, because we've never tried to help him. So the first Sunday of January 1969, eight different young men stood before Bible classes presenting lessons from God's Word to show our brethren, "If you'll take a little bit of time with me, this is what we can accomplish." The word started to travel about the Church of Christ boys in Warner Robins. And the governor of the state at that time, Jimmy Carter, invited Randy to come speak for him. And was so impressed with what the young man had to say, he then invited him to speak to a governor's prayer breakfast that he held once a quarter. They were so impressed that they invited him to speak to the opening session of the legislature in 1969, where this young man quoted the Sermon on the Mount. And from that point on, they started traveling across the Southeast, preaching and teaching for others.
What if you had a message that would change kids' and families' lives for eternity, and nobody listened? What if you had a biblically based tool that would transcend generations and no one used it? What if you had a program that yielded an 85% return in kids and families being faithful in the Lord's church and no one invested in it? 50 years ago, Dr. Jack Zorn assembled eight boys in Warner Robins, Georgia for their first leadership class. 50 years later, over 250,000 participants are impacted by Lads to Leaders, the oldest and largest leadership training program in the Church of Christ. Lads to Leaders is producing more preachers than any other program in the country, has attendance of over 20,000 a year for the national convention. Girls are learning to model themselves after the godly woman of Proverbs 31. Kids are being trained in the areas of scripture reading, learning the art of debate to defend God's word, learning to say the books of the Bible, speeches, leading songs. Here's the proof. 14 years ago, the son of an elder got involved in Lads to Leaders. Today, he leads us in worship. Today, he's training the leaders for the future. But the question is, Are you listening?
I'm listening.
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 When the Savior calls, I will ask.
Brethren, I ask us today, are we listening? Are we listening to our kids and the way they communicate? Are we listening in our society today and how we communicate with each other so that they know we care and that we're listening to what they're having to say? Are we trying to do our best to show them the way? But you know, things hadn't changed much. In 1991, Brother Neil Anderson dedicated an issue of the Gospel Advocate to lads to leaders where he asked two questions. Who's going to fill their shoes? Something Brother Bill was just talking about. Who's going to be your elders, deacons, preachers, and Sunday school teachers? If you look at the cover of the magazine, you see a young lady in her mother's shoes. You see a young man in his father's shoes. But brethren, the question I have for you today is, if one of our elders had to step down due to whatever reason it might be, who's preparing their lives to take his place? One of the deacons that carry on the work here, if he had to move or have a job change or had to step aside, who is going to take his place? You know, one of the hardest jobs for me in the local church is being a Bible class teacher. Brother Terry, if you start teaching today, you can't quit until you die because nobody else won't take your place. And you know I'm telling the truth. But why is that? Brethren, I want to suggest to you today we ain't done a good job preparing our teachers for tomorrow. We hadn't taught them how to do those things because, you know, in our society today, we're known by the friends that we keep. If our kids go to a public high school or any school and there's some known people that doesn't live like they ought to and our kids are hanging out with them and our people don't know who really they are but know them, what do they think they are? The same that they are. If we hang out with people that are very questionable in reputation and don't live the godly life that they need to live and people see us with that, who do they think we are? Exactly the same. It's vitally important, brethren, that we know the friends that we keep, that we teach the right way. Brother Roy Johnson's our executive director. Brother Roy was one of the 8 original lads leaders. He wanted to be a preacher, and as a young boy, his dad said, I don't have the ability to teach you, so in the summertime, he sent him to live with Brother Jack and his sister Frances at 8 years old and on so that he could learn to be a gospel preacher, and he turned out to be a good one. He worked hard at that. Been over 250,000 participants in last leader since its inception. But brethren, something that scares me to death as a father. A study was done over 10 years in 7 states that show if you get your kids to come to church with you, after they graduate high school and go on into college and graduate, only 38 out of 100 are staying faithful. 38 out of 100. But brethren, the same study shows that if we get our kids involved in some form of another of church work, that we keep 54 out of 100. For the same kiddos that we've had involved in Lads to Leaders during that same period of time, we're keeping 85%. Brother Chuck Webster spoke for us a few weeks ago at Hoover. They're keeping 92% of their kids after college graduation. Brethren, I'm not standing up here today telling you that Lads to Leaders is a magic pill. But what I'm standing up here telling you today, if we train them like we ought to today, they'll be here tomorrow. Because if we don't, the world's standing here with their arms wide open and say, please don't. I have plenty of opportunity. Please don't give them the training they need. The scripture we had read, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. One planted, one watered, and that ends our responsibility. Because who gives the increase? God does. God does. But brethren, it's vitally important for us to do our part. We have to plant the word. We have to water it and cultivate it, and then God will take care of the rest. You know, we come together on every first day of the week. Why? Because that's what God told us to do. But isn't it a refreshing time that we come together and we worship together and we sing those songs, we observe the Lord's Supper, and we get built up and look forward to the middle of the week? But you know, brethren, there's people in our society, you know, that we call CEM Christians. Christians that meet only on Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. Now, I'm going to tell you, if this lady walked in church on Easter, who would ever forget that she came? I don't know where Roy found this picture, this hat, but I'm telling you, he had to search deep and wide to find it. But if she came, she wears that hat for one reason, because, oh, I was there. You don't remember me? I had that chocolate chicken on my head. But brethren, how important is it that we're here every first day of the week? Is that something that we are teaching our kids today? Who am I kidding, brethren? Is that something that we as adults make a priority? That we come together on the first day of the week to worship? Lance Leaders is a proven tool to help us build a congregation. Our goal is to provide churches with an effective year-round leadership training tool that can be adapted to every congregation's needs, brethren, because we understand every congregation is not strong in the same areas or weak in the same areas, and our goal is to help build Christians that are well-rounded, to build strong families. Brethren, if we build strong families, we build strong churches. I remember on my grandmother's wall for years was a little plaque that said, "A family that prays together stays together." It's on my mama's wall today, and when she passes, it's going to be on my wall, because I believe that. That if we take time to study and pray as God has commanded us, that we're going to build a strong family, and that flows over into the church, that we will have a strong church. But one of the myths about Lads to Leaders, I guess, is that it is a youth program. No, this is a family program. This is a church program. There's things in this that our adults can participate in as well as our young folks. But we need adults, and we'll talk about that a little more in a few minutes. It's a church family event. It's not something just for our kids that are 3, but all the way to 103. The oldest participant I can remember, Miss Molly Moores, that went to University Church. At 91, she said 100 verses of Scripture that year. The youngest that I can remember is 2 years old. A little girl sang the books of the Old Testament. New Testament, I'm sorry. She tried to do the Old Testament, but her little tongue just couldn't roll some of them words off. I said, "That's all right, honey, I can't either." 2 years old. Brother Homer Gleason, at 87, said over 900 verses in a year. We had a ninth grader in Memphis 2 years ago that said 700. She said, "Brother Homer's record's not safe long, because I'm going to beat 900. Where they work together. These are some of the areas. There's only 38 opportunities for growth in Lads to Leaders. They're divided into convention events and year-round events. If you participate in convention, there's 11 different things that you can participate in. If you participate in the year-round events, which are things that I want you to think about, that's things that you do at home, there's only 27 of those. 27 different opportunities to help us to build a strong family, to help us to build a strong church. Now, one of the terms that I want you to remember is winner's circle, because if one of your kids participates and they, I'm going to pick on you, Austin, you're, what, 11th grade? You're a senior. Well, we're going to back you up a year just for my example, all right? Let's say he was in the 11th grade and he won song leading. Next year, we won't let him participate in song leading in the 12th grade. We're going to make him participate in winter circle song leading in the 12th grade. Why? He's going to do it with people that's won before, and we want him to sharpen his axe. We want him to get better at what he does. We don't want him to be content with where he is right now, but always strive to be better. It's important for that, because year-round events are earning is better than winning. The things that you work for, you remember. The things that you work for, you appreciate. The best car I ever owned was a 1965 Ford Galaxy 500 two-door, because I had to buy it. It's the first car I ever bought. It had a 270 air conditioner in it. You roll the windows down, run 70 miles an hour. I had to sell my Tennessee walking horse and work to pay $425 for that car. I then put an FM radio in it, and I was chopping in high cotton. I had an FM radio. I know some of y'all don't remember those days, and that's all right. But I earned it because I worked for it. So when you do the year-round things and you work for it, you earn it, and it's better than winning. But brethren, what gets rewarded in our society today gets repeated. How many of your kids came home from school and at any point in their lives and said, "Hey, I got all A's, what you going to give me?" You ever heard that before? Hinton used to come home and say, "Hey, Dad, I brought my conduct grade up from a D to a B. What you going to give me? I'm not going to beat you to death this 9 weeks." But what are you going to give me? What are you going to do for... But is it wrong to reward somebody for doing something? Does any of us get mad if somebody walks up to you and says, you know, I really couldn't cut my grass and you was able to come over and do that for me. I really appreciate it. Or trees fell because of the storms that happened and we went and picked them up. Or we helped load pods that are going to the mission field. Does anybody get mad when they say thank you? Is it wrong to tell our kids how much we appreciate them? To tell them how much we love and appreciate them? 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. How do we get from point A to point B? We have to learn. We have to teach. And lastly, there's four different types of events very quickly. I done got excited here. Bible service, leadership, and curriculum. Read the Word, something you're doing right now where you read the New Testament in a year, the Old Testament in a year, the whole Bible. If you read 13 chapters a day, you can read the Bible in 3 months. 13 chapters a day. 6.5 chapters a day, you can do it in 6. You can do that as a church, you can do it as a family, you can do it as a class, you can do it however you want to do that. Know the books, where you say the notes, where you say the books of the Bible. Our kiddos say them 52 times a year, sitting right here on this pew. They sing that song, and most of you that are in here are singing it with them. Know the books. Year-round Bible reading, where you adults are willing to go to a website made by Apologetics Press, abrkids.net, and are willing to sign up as a teacher. And you go in and you help develop a study because some of the kiddos are going to come and sign up under you. And for example, you may start in Matthew and go to Revelation, and the goal for them is to score 600 points in a year because at the end of each chapter there's questions, and for every one they get right, they get points. But you as a teacher have the ability to go in and check that. And if there's one where they missed them all, you can erase those answers and you can give them the opportunity to study that again and do it. But it also gives us as an adult the opportunity to sit down and study that to see what we've missed. We can study and grow together. Centurion of Scripture, where you're willing to say 100 passages of Scripture in a year. Say them 10 at a time. 50 at a time, 100 at a time. If we've got younger kids that want to say them, you decide however's the best way if they want to say them one at a time. That's what you can do. And it's great. We need volunteers from you adults that are willing to sit down. How many of us have got 10 minutes, 10 times in a year to listen to a child say or a student say passages of Scripture? We're not talking weeks and days and months. We're talking minutes. But the cool thing about that is how many of us are willing to sit down and say 10 back? Because we as an adult can show how much we care by doing that. I cannot say 100 verses. Psalm 23, Acts 2, 37, 38, John 3, 15 and 16, Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 10, that's over 50. Don't tell me that you can't say 50. It's a matter of priority and willing to sit down and do that. Service events. Now, I'm probably asking a loaded question here. What second languages do they teach in school here? Somebody? Spanish is one. Others? Do Spanish-speaking Americans deserve the right to hear the Scriptures? What about deaf people? Do they deserve the right to hear the Scripture? Brethren, how are they going to hear it if we don't teach them? How are they going to hear it if we don't teach them? And there's levels. You don't have to start out teaching, but you start out learning how to use these different tools that are there for us and available to use. Good Samaritan, something you're already doing right now, where you're willing to go the extra mile to help somebody, loading the pods, cutting the grass, sending out cards to people that are sick, making phone calls, doing visits. You can do that as a church. You can do it as a family. You can do it as a Bible class. You can do that however you want to do it. Good Samaritan. Bulletin board. All right. How many of us guys have done a bulletin board this year? I mean, that's what I thought, lady. Oh, Will, you're number 4 this year, just so you know. Number 4. Where does bulletin boards come from? Got to give props to our ladies that teach these Bible classes because they plan. They plan ahead. And they go through their study and they pick out things that is they feel like that is vitally important that'll make a difference in that kid's life. And what do? They put it on the board or they put it on the door. Because every time that kid or that student comes in that door, what do they see? The door and the bulletin board. What do they see when they leave? The door and the bulletin board. What do they remember 20 years from now when they leave? The door and the bulletin board. Another opportunity and a way to teach. PowerPoint. Similar to what we use today, where you use things that will advance what you're learning. That will be an aid in helping what you study. Now, brethren, I've seen PowerPoints that had things flying in from the side and to bounce around for 5 minutes, and I get motion sickness, and I was about sick before it stopped. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about using it in a way that will be an effective to help somebody learn the Bible. In Mississippi, they start teaching PowerPoint in the third grade. What, I don't know what it is here. I don't know what technology class when it starts or whatever, but they start at a young age. Puppet theater. We don't promote puppet theater for worship. But there's places that we can use that. Vacation Bible school, Bible camp, hospitals. Most of you probably know Joetta Kelly. Joetta worships University Church and has probably been involved in inner city ministry between 40 and 45 years. She used to go into neighborhoods and pass out flyers with her mother, Miss Molly Moores, that we're going to have Bible study on the basketball pavilion for moms and kids Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. She didn't get very many participants, so she started passing out flyers in these neighborhoods. We're going to have a puppet show and a Bible study on the basketball pavilion Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. After 3 weeks, she couldn't get all the mamas and the babies on the basketball pavilion. Today, if you go over into the community of Chisholm, there's the Inner City Church of Christ because the Bible studies that she started setting up and people would go study with them and started baptizing people. There's proper ways to use the tools that we have. You do year-round puppets right here at home. Use them in hospitals and other places. Where do you do Good Samaritan? Right here at home. Year-round bulletin board right here at home. Year-round speech right here at home. Brother, in 1974, the mothers told the elders it's time we started teaching our young ladies to do exactly what our young men need to know how to do. We're not promoting that our young women stand in the pulpit and preach, but if you walk the halls of our Bible classes today, how many women are teaching in our Bible classes? Is it important for our young ladies to know how to teach? Is it important for them to know the Bible? Is it important for them to know their place in the church just like the men? If you don't believe that so, please go home today and sit down at your computer and type in women elders in the Church of Christ. Some close by, please be sitting down when you do that. Is it important for all of us to know our place in the church? When you get home, type in women ministers in the Church of Christ and be sitting down when you do it. They're not far off. It's vitally important that they know how. Hinton's a good song leader today because of his mother, because he sat with her all those years that I was leading singing, and he actually learned how to sing. But mothers, when you walk through these classrooms, what else do you hear? If they have a ladies' day, who do they want to lead singing? If they wanted us to come, I guess, Melvin, it'd be a gospel meeting, wouldn't it? If all of us men came, who do they want to speak? It's vitally important that we know that. Very quickly, speech. Why do we do that? To teach them the proper way. The proper way that you would present a lesson from God's Word. It's vitally important that we know that in our society today. Because we're blessed here to have a lot of great speakers. But if one of them's gone, who's going to take their place? Song leading and songs of praise, where we teach our young men the proper way to get up and lead singing. Great job this morning, Steve. Thank you. Get up and do it the proper way, or in the words of Brother Tom Holland, we as the church need to learn to sing God's way. It's important for our young ladies to learn the same because of ladies' days. They have teaching opportunities. They spend time together. They have ladies' devotionals. Teach to teach. So you don't have to teach till you die. We have opportunity for one of your teachers and one of our teachers at Dalreda to take a student under their wing, whether they be a student in school or an adult. Spend a quarter a year, 3 years with them, where the first year they only watch them teach a class. The second year they sit together and start from day one and plan that Bible class. And the third year the teacher watches the student teach the Bible class. At the end of 3 years, what do you have? Somebody that can teach a Bible class. Keepers, based on Proverbs 31. Providers, based in 1 Timothy chapter 5. keepers, as for our young ladies, 14 different areas that we feel helps to make them better young Christian women, mothers, and wives. Providers, based in 1 Timothy 5, makes our young men better Christian young men, better for providers and better husbands. Now, there's some things in keepers that our boys need to know how to do. There's things in providers that our girls need to know how to do. We need volunteers. How many ladies know how to sew on a button? Would you be willing to teach somebody how to do that? Do you know how to iron? Would you be willing to teach somebody how to do that? Have we got some guys here that know how to change a tire? Are you willing to share that? How to check the oil in your car, or how to put a toilet in? Basic things that we need to know at home. Do we have people to be willing to volunteer to help do those things and teach our kids to do those things? To learn from godly people. Brethren, we demand confidence in all that we do. Austin, I'm going to ask you to get up if you don't mind and read 1 Corinthians 16 first, and then if you would, read the one after.
1 Corinthians 16, starting in verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephen, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us.
What does that Bible verse tell us today, brethren? We got to go to work. We've got to devote ourselves to the ministry of the saints. The King James Version says addict. We should be addicted to the ministry of the saints. It's not an option, brethren. It's something we have to do. I want to suggest to you today that it starts at home. It starts at home. And when we build that strong family, you see that it builds a strong church.
1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither of who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor.
Brethren, we have a job, a vital job. That's to plant the word. We have to water it because we have to wrap our arms around our brethren, our young folks and our old folks, and tell them how much we love them. Because if we don't, it's sort of like, used to be like when I was a kid and we planted our tomato plants and we didn't water them. They died and we got no benefit from it. And I'm suggesting to you today, brethren, unless we start planting that seed early, and continue to water it until it's grown, God will not give us the increase. Because he has told us that's our job. It's vitally important that we remember what our responsibility is. Throughout the pages of the Bible, and maybe somebody can correct me, but I've never found the age of retirement from being a Christian. I've never seen that. The only thing that we have to remember is when they're young, do we make sure they know why and what they're doing? Some become Christians earlier than others. But again, it's our job to plant it. It's our job to water it. And God takes care of the rest. There may be those here this morning that's never put on Christ in baptism. If not, why not? There's water here available and we're ready to help you. There might be others here that's lost sight of the goal. They've quit planting and they've quit watering. We're here to pray with you and for you. There might be others here today that have needs in their lives that we have no earthly idea what they are, but they just need somebody to pray with them. If there's a need you have this morning, please come as we stand together and as we sing.